Joy of Business Radio, hosted by Joy of Business facilitators from around the world, with special shows from Simone Milicis, the founder and creator of Joy of Business. Are you bored or dissatisfied with your work or business? Joy of Business is an invitation to a completely new way of creating. Did you know your business and job can actually be fun and joyful? If what you are currently doing isn't working for you, listen into this show full of pragmatic tools from Access Consciousness, which change everything in business, from money to finance, staff, creativity, productivity, communication, and beyond. Joy of Business Radio, weekly on Om Times Radio.
Hello, my name is Corina Cable. I'm from Germany, and I am a Joy of Business facilitator and also a translator for English and Russian. And as I've heard in the intro, it's so aptly described that Joy of Business is a totally different way of looking at business and of generating a joyful life, doing what you love. And this is what I want to talk about today, and I'd like to start off by giving you a short story of my life, but don't worry, it's not my intention to bore you, it's just to show how much has changed for me and what has become possible with Joy of Business that I would have never considered possible before. So, as I said before, I'm a translator for Russian and English, and I used to work as an in-house translator for different companies. I also once worked with the arms control section of the German Bundeswehr, the German army, which was a rather interesting job, since there I could really perceive that what I was doing for my living did affect a change in the world, because it was about doing mutual inspections, countries like the delegations from different countries would come, and we worked under several contracts, open skies, it's so long ago, I hardly ever remember it anymore. the conventional armed forces, and we would really get notifications and travel to other countries and then count laid off tanks. And there would also be other ways of doing inspections that were designed to build trust between the nations and also forge a connection between officers, and not only officers, all ranks. And it was really great to see how this really affected how they saw the world. And for instance, especially in that area, you had people who had still grown up with the Eastern Bloc and Western Bloc ideologies and everything. And for them to really meet people from the former other side and talk to them and have even friendly relationships was a great contribution. So this was, in a way, that this job held some of the elements that are vital to me and important to me. And yet there were so many other elements that were not fun for me at all. So I continued on to go to Russia finally, because I love Russian. And this was actually the first time I followed my knowing and followed what I love when I picked a third language. Well, a third, I did Spanish too, but that doesn't count anymore. Well, when I picked a language to learn as an interpreter and translator, I simply had a hunch. there was no logical reason for choosing Russian, especially since I was one of the few students from West Germany to go to Leipzig University, which is in East Germany, the former GDR. And they didn't even have enough students who were beginners with Russian to start the regular study course. But, and they told me I could learn Czech or, and some Polish or whatever, some other Slavic language. But I was all set on learning Russian for whatever reason. So I attended classes 1 year, for 1 year, and then did the entrance exam at A level, which was rather hard. So during my whole course of studies, I really had to catch up. I had to really learn Russian by myself almost. And it paid off greatly. I was rewarded with going to a country and living in a country that I found very intriguing. And I felt very much at home in Russia, which is really weird since I had no connections in this lifetime, at least whatsoever, to Russia before. But I just knew I had to go there. So yeah, As I said before, I started out as an in-house translator, and this is also how I came to Russia. I applied for jobs. I talked to people. Even back then, I realized I have to ask questions. So I talked to some people who had been to Russia, and what they could advise me, who I could turn to, where I could find a job. And this one guy, he gave me several addresses of law firms. So I applied for a job with them. And one of those law firms actually wanted me as an in-house translator. So I really packed up everything. I gave away all the little furniture I had. And yeah, I wanted to leave for Russia. I was actually in my head, I was emigrating. And yeah, I started working there, and soon I realized it was not fun at all, because I was too timid to say no. And this, any assignment nobody else wanted to deal with was passed on to me. And then, of course, they saw me as an authority with any non-Russian language. So they would turn to me for German, for English. If they had written emails, they would want me to proof that read them. And it was really, really, wow, it was a very stressful time. The first time I left my job at 9 in the evening on a Friday night, they would still apologize, like, oh, we are so sorry, you should be going out. And after that, it was so normal that even leaving the office at 10 to go to the gym and be back there the next morning at 8 was totally normal. So sometimes I would start at 8 in the morning and finish at 12 at night. And whoever has done translations knows that it's really, I was really envious of the lawyers who could at least have some phone calls in between. Like they would, of course they would have to talk to people. And to me, that seemed like the most relaxing thing I could imagine. But I was there doing those translations at a speed that was not normal. It was like doing exams all day long, every day, every single day. So I ended up being really exhausted. And I had lived in Moscow for a whole year and hardly seen anything. I was just living for the job. When I went home on the elevator and I saw advertisements, I would start in my head translating every single word and typing it. So that was my state of mind back then. So as is, it's maybe not so hard to imagine that I decided that translation was hell, that translating was terrible, that I didn't like translating, and wow, I just want to get out of here. So I started looking for other ways to be, and I found a modality or a guy who offered some modalities about healing yourself. And also it had a lot to do with mindset. He was called Mirza Karim Narbekov. And it really, really helped me. And it was interesting that, yeah, even back then, I can say I started asking questions and actively, making demands. I really actively wished for, if you like, being in a place where there would be no pollution, where there were more foreigners, because that was something I really didn't like about Moscow. It was very, very xenophobic, you could say, and not very diverse. And this is something I hadn't grown up with. I come from Germany, from West Germany, and I had always very much appreciated the diversity of people from all different countries and all different walks of life. And Russia in this respect, is a bit different. So, to put it mildly. And so I really actively wished for living in a place where I would like to, where I would feel more at home in the sense of having greater diversity also with respect to mindset. Because in Moscow, of course, I met very different people, with different points of view, but some of those, it was getting worse and worse. That was in 2008, 2009, when actually the media were being curtailed, they were being monitored and censored more and more and more, and you could feel that. And for instance, on the one of the biggest national days of Russia, the 9th of May, which was the day of the end of fascism, when Russia invaded, I wouldn't say invade, but when Russia, the Russian army entered Germany. That was a day when they would show, and not only on that day, but on this day particularly, they would show on TV all those horrible documentaries about the Second World War. And I felt after that, and I'm not nationalistic, I don't really identify as a German very much, but I would feel so small. I would feel so bad. And they had parades and stuff. It was also, there wasn't much room for any other opinions and any other points of view. This is basically what I really didn't like and where I felt, okay, I don't want to keep on living in an environment like that. So, I'm sorry. I'll come back to you after the break. I hear the music. And this is a good cut anyway, because now you can imagine me moving back to Germany.
No one needs to have a money problem, especially you.
Yeah, did you hear that? You! You have an unlimited and mostly unaccessed capacity to create money and a financial reality that works for you. Simone Millicis has a brand new book. It's called Getting Out of Debt Joyfully. And right now, when you go to gettingoutofdebtjoyfully.com, if you pre-order the book, you'll get a free online course. What if you can create money in ways no one else can? Just go to gettingoutofdebtjoyfully.com to get your copy today.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Aloha, my name is Jennifer O'Neill, and I'd like to invite you to come join me every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time for my show, Spirit Chat. Spirit Chat focuses on simplifying the process of using the spiritual tools and gifts you were born with in a way that fits into your everyday life. I also teach different techniques that will help you learn how to navigate the spirit realm and empower you on your own spiritual journey. So join me this Wednesday as I guide you through the spirit world.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Oh, so hello. I was about to switch to German, which is interesting. Okay, yeah, definitely. I understand why, because I have already moved to Germany. Yeah. So as I said before, I made those demands. Today I can say I made those demands in my world. And then although in 2008 we had this, there was the crisis in Russia. They had a big crisis and they told everyone in our company that, which was by that time already White and Case. I was translating from Russian to English and English to Russian, which is really funny, but it worked somehow. I made it work. They told everybody nobody would be laid off. And then, but we had already gotten much less work. Sometimes we would just sit around and read, which was really, really rare. And yeah, in January, they called me out. I was in the middle of a translation and all like, oh, I need to finish that translation. And they told me, unfortunately, they would have to let me go. And, which was mainly due to my being the only foreigner in the translation department. And, I had had a talk also with a boss, somewhere, at the beginning of my employment. Where he asked me where I see myself in 5 years and all of that, and would I be staying in Russia? And I said that I might, I imagine not staying forever. So maybe that was also one of the reasons they laid me off. And it was a huge shock for me. And then on the other hand, I got a very, good layoff amount, like $10,000. And I even at that time, I realized I had been really asking for it. So I returned to Germany and, I was like, oh, I'll never want to have anything to do with translations ever again. No, please just leave me alone. I hate it. It's making me sick to even think of it, because I had kind of accumulated all that trauma and drama around translation, what it means, what it doesn't mean, and that you don't have a life anymore, that you're a slave basically, and then yeah, that it's even worse than being a lawyer, because as a lawyer at least you can kind of climb up the ladder, the career ladder, but as a translator you'll remain a translator and that's it. So I looked for new ways to be, and I became a fitness instructor, which is really totally different. And I quite enjoyed it, although learning some of the tenets, some of those rules or whatever, was not easy for me. And again, now I know that it was simply, I just realized these were rules that were not necessarily applicable to everybody, like everybody. Anyway, I found employment as a fitness instructor in an area where I could work with people who either had stressful jobs in companies or who had to do rehab. And it was quite fun for me, and on the other hand, quite stressful on my body, as I was always doing all the exercises with them. And as again, as I know today, taking on a lot of stuff from their bodies or taking stuff out of their bodies. So I added a training as a massage therapist, which I also enjoyed very much. But at that time, I was really financially not very well off. For me, the thought of earning 20 euros an hour was crazy. Like, wow, are you crazy? 20 euros an hour? This is, oh. And consequently, I didn't have enough money even to see my parents with ease, which was really interesting, as I had been traveling the world before. And then to just catch a ride and see my parents was already a stretch. So I was searching and searching and searching, and one day on a radio show I heard, actually it was Dane, Dr. Dane here, talk about how to get even better, and I put it on a sticky note, and what else was possible. And I started using it, and I'm so grateful he said put it on a sticky note, otherwise I would have forgotten it. I did do that, and the first experience I had using that was when I sat down to draw a picture for my sister, and it was actually very hot that day, and it was hard to even move. It was terrible, and I tend to be in a lot of judgment of myself when I'm drawing, so I simply took it second by second, minute by minute, and asked, how does it get even better, how does it get even better, how does it get even better? And within, I think, 2 hours, the picture was basically done. I did a few touch-ups in the end, but it was, yeah, I did it. That was such a great experience for me. And I then went on to take my first bars class, which I managed even at that time with that little money. And I had to travel also to the south of Germany. But that was my focus. I really wanted to change something, and I could tell there was something in it for me. Not cognitively, of course, but it was, again, like with Russian before, I knew I had to do it. And ever since then, my life has changed completely. I started asking questions. I basically asked myself out of a situation I didn't love, a work situation I didn't love, where I felt very dependent, and also a place, the place where I lived, I had chosen to live in Essen, which is in the former coal mining region. Now they're closing the last coal mines this year, actually. And I had gone there because my friend, I felt, okay, so the Russian language for me is vital. It's really, I can express myself in a different way than I can when I speak German. So when I came back to Germany, I knew I had to be able to talk to someone in Russian. Otherwise, I would feel that my personality would be like cut in half And even staying for the first few weeks with my parents and my sister was really, really not easy, as I had found a totally different way of communicating. And yeah, this is how I ended up in Essen, in the city, in the coal mine region of Germany. Because a Russian friend of mine lived there, and I simply couldn't imagine living without speaking Russian. So, but eventually things changed. She found a husband, got pregnant, and I also, chose different things. So I really wanted to live in a place that I liked much better, a city I liked better, and have friends who I can see regularly. And this is how I went to Stuttgart. And I kept on using the access tools, and I started translating in access classes. And this is when I first realized, wow, translation is fun. I actually like translating and even interpreting. I always had thought, oh, interpreting is so hard, especially simultaneous interpreting. And the first class I translated together with Susanna Mittermeier in Dublin, that was also, wow. I had so many points of view about what professional translation is like, and that I, as a professional translator, should of course be on top of everything and it should be easy for me. And of course the contrary was the case. It was the minute when Dane told his joke about the, what was it again? It's a snail that's been robbed by turtles, a band of turtles, and he is supposed to testify for the police later. And then he says, like, oh, I cannot tell you anything. It all happened so fast. And I was totally lost. I couldn't get the joke. I was like, totally, what? I was so ashamed. And then one of the French co-translators, she called out for the second German translator very dramatically. Where's the second German translator? Can she come now? And she wasn't available right away. So I fled to the far furthest corner of the room. I was crying and I hid under a massage table. Because I was so ashamed. I have to really laugh now. But that was really my world. I mean, all those concepts, all those definitions, all those points of view I had about what a good translator is. A good translator never shows any feelings. A good translator is on top of things. So a good translator always gets it right. A good translator never gets lost. And especially a good translator never shows up too much. Never steals the show, right? So I shouldn't be in the foreground or anything. And that was everything happened that was the exact opposite of of what I had been taught and what I had been told. So it was a great thing that, of course, I went into the trauma and drama, but later on, Susanna told me, did you hear what Dane said? And said, no, because I was so busy with that. And then, of course, later when I heard it, and I also, thanks to Susanna's questions, I realized, and she told me also what he said. He said, look, you can pretend everything is cool and you keep on doing what you're doing, although you get, oh, it's not working right now. It's not working anymore. Or you can ask for help. And you can be vulnerable. And so basically he was totally acknowledging me at that moment, which was so, so cool. So another break. I'll be coming back to how I got out of that situation.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
So,
host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Putting the fun back in business. Wake up. Go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, repeat. Business, work, your job, hate it? bored, want to leave it? Or business, work, your job, fun, play, joy, fun. Which would you like to choose? You may not know this, but business, your job, work can actually be fun. Check up your business routine. Check out my 3-part free video series on putting the fun back in business. Go to accessjoybusiness.com/fun and put the fun back in business.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello. Okay, it's me. Back to that horrible, horrible, terrifying situation where I found basically all my beliefs, my professional beliefs, being challenged. And yeah, getting the acknowledgement that it is okay to be lost, to be encountering, to encounter a situation where you simply don't know what to do is okay. That was really, really something totally new for me. And although I managed, as I do, to judge myself harshly for that later on, I also kept on going. And this is one of the traits I have come to really appreciate more and more, that I don't give up easily. Even if I think I'm not doing so well, I'll keep on doing it. I'll keep on trying. I'll keep on just really never give up, never give in, never quit. This is really something I have obviously always done. So, yeah, that was the start of many, many, many trips, and many, 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 many classes, access classes I have translated. And I have also become a CF, a certified facilitator, in the meantime, a JACF, and also quite recently, a Right Voice for You facilitator. As I realized that this has been something that I have always loved doing, like working with people, no matter in which capacity, as a language teacher, a fitness instructor, as a translator, it was always so important for me, or I felt I had done a good job when I saw that people were leaving me a bit more, or not even a bit, but much more, of course, if it was possible, much more happy, much more alive, when I could see their eyes shine and there would be more of them, basically, and have more trust in themselves. And this is, yeah, something I really realized back then. And I was very intrigued when I met Joy of Business and Simone. That was so, so special for me. It was also, I cannot even tell you which was the first instance when I met her, but I remember one of the first classes I translated for her was really a total changing point where everything shifted. Because there was this lady, this successful lady who knows how to speak so well and is like, wow, so super present and super acute and super like sees through you. And for her to acknowledge me basically, or giving me the awareness that I could have a business too, was like, wow, really? I mean, a business, me and a business, I've always been employed by somebody, and, well, I had become half, self-employed by that time. I was already doing better, but still, it was really like business is something for other people, business is for people who are good with numbers or have a mind for it. And but actually, those first, there was a 101 and a 102 class, those, so as business classes, they opened up a totally different world for me and made me even consider becoming all that, a CF, etc. And this is also what I encounter a lot today, that a lot of people feel drawn to my classes, or a lot of the many of the people who feel drawn to my classes are those who don't consider having their own business, or not a business, or really, I have pensioners or students, people from all walks of life, who would think they don't have a business, let alone joy in business, or could ever be joyful in business. And yeah, one of the things that I find might be a contribution is to realize that no matter what you do, no matter what jobs or other components constitute your life, what if all of your life, what if your life was your business and your business was your life? As Simone likes to say, like when you wake up in the morning and you have blood running through your veins, you are in business. So if you take a broader perspective, like everything that constitutes your life, also your free time, your family, your friends, your hobbies. So how much fun can you have if you allow for all those components to be more joyful, to switch them, or to even see what else you can add to your life? So this, to realize what is really fun for you, I encountered that this was maybe even the biggest challenge for me, to find out what's really fun for me, as I had been so not used to asking that question. I had been used to, my dad is is an officer with the army, and he always had this thing of, okay, you have to fulfill your duty, right? And there are certain things which are not so nice, but this is your duty. He would even say, it's your duty to go to school. And not in a harsh way, but this is how I grew up. It's like, okay, first you come home, and first you do your homework, you do your duty, and then you can go out and play. So there was never this like leeway of, oh, you can do it now or later. There was no question about that. And in a way, I'm even grateful for that, because it makes it easier for me to really just do it and then get on with other stuff. But that's another story. But really, my mindset had been so different. And also in my family, as far as job security is concerned, of course, to be an employee is so much safer, is considered so much safer. You don't have to worry about anything. Of course, you can lose your job, but you can apply for another one. But having your own business, that wasn't something that has a lot of tradition in my family. Or those who did have their own business, there is this big story of the one, I don't even know, great-grandfather who had his own very successful business. But then he, how do you call it? He pledged, he gave his money, he vouched for a friend with all of his money. And then that friend didn't live up to the expectations and he had to pay. And this is how in my family, it's like your own business and gambling are almost equally bad. So these are things you shouldn't do. They are too risky. And yeah, just don't. And so even to get out of that, to gradually get out of this whole set of points of view, of conceptions, of concepts about business being something that's not for me, not in 100 years, and to steal and sneak my way out of that was really, really a challenge. And I'm so grateful for the tools of Joy of Business, and also the presence, Simone's presence, and also of all the other Joy of Business facilitators and people who do it, that showed me otherwise. It is possible. It is possible to live your dream. And this is something I really, really want to talk about. We always have this thing like, oh, I have a big dream. I used to think, okay, I need to have a very, very special talent. I need to be whatever, a pianist, somebody who cannot stop playing the piano, who's like, oh, without that, I'm going to die. And then I'm going to live my passion and then everything is good. And the dream has to have these proportions. And well, I had talents in different areas, but not that pronouncedly. I mean, like, okay, I'm good at drawing and I like a bit of singing and blah, blah, blah. I like languages, but there's nothing like extremely special. So, I gradually discovered that there are many, many, many elements and components that make up what is my special talent, if you like, or maybe it's a mix, it's a whole cocktail of talents or capacities and also of traits you have as a person that make up that very special you. So one way, as I said before, of getting there and basically living my dream, I mean, I'm creating my life, and how is that not a dream, right? I'm creating my life every day. And part of that is really asking, so what's really fun for me? What do I really love doing? And also take off any, how can I say that, wherever things you used to love have been marred by experiences. For instance, with me, in my case, it was translation, where I had concluded, oh, I hate translation. I don't like it anymore. It's like the worst thing I can imagine. That was simply due to the circumstances under which I was doing translations. And maybe also the field. I mean, like, legal texts are not the most exciting texts. Although sometimes they can be really funny, especially if you have, what is it again? How do you call it? I did it in Russian so much, so I don't remember how it is in German, in English anymore. Where they rent out shops in malls in Russia, they sometimes have in their regulations stuff like, don't keep animals on the premises, don't produce any pornographic journals, don't have people sleep there, and don't cook in the public toilets, and don't wash your feet in the public toilets, don't carry guns in the mall. So these parts are really funny because I have lived in Russia and I know that they basically will do anything that's not forbidden and also do what's forbidden, just circumventing or going around it. So even legal texts can be interesting, but yeah, of course, I'll be coming back to you shortly. And yeah, it's easier if I pick up where I left off now.
What do you hate about business? And do you want to change it? If you don't want to change anything about your job or business, stop listening. You're all good. If you'd like to have money just for the fun of it and stop the negative self-talk, check out Joy of Business. This is about knowing what you know about business and creating more than you can imagine. Access Joy of Business 101 classes offered around the world. Go to accessjoybusiness.com/101.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, The advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
So, hello back. I'm glad to, be back for this final leg of this show today. And of course, I've been talking a lot about me now. And of course, I also would like to ask you some questions. And I have picked the questions that are my favorite and that have brought me a lot and have taken me much further. So I've been talking about living your dream and that your dream is constituted by all those elements that make up your life and your life and your living and your business. So what do you love doing so much you could do it all day long? So maybe something comes to mind. And this might be something that's not even like accounting or like considered useful right away, right? Like it could be like smelling flowers or doing something that doesn't seem useful in the beginning. But what if you just went for that? So what do you love doing so much you could do it all day long? Do you like talking to people? Do you like listening? Do you like reading? Do you like traveling? So what is it that you really love doing so much? So my second question is, what is so easy for you to do that you have discounted it as useless? So what is so easy for you that you thought everyone can do it? I still catch myself thinking that about translating and simultaneous translation. Or even, dealing with translation. Because it's like something I wouldn't say automatically do. This would be an exaggeration. But I recently read a book which had been obviously translated. I could feel the translation. I could feel what they had done. I could feel the original text behind the translation. And I could feel where they had altered the original. And in a sense, in a measure that I didn't find acceptable. So there is some mechanism in me that does this constant thing of like translating. Translare is like, trans is to take, it's over, and lare is carry over basically. You carry it over. And latum is the, whatever the past perfect participle, doesn't matter. So, So what is so easy for you that you have discounted it and have thought everyone can do it? So my suggestion to you is to write down a list and maybe do this for whatever this evening and the next day, whatever comes to mind. And it can be picking nice clothes or seeing what people can wear, having an eye for what haircut would suit them, whatever it is. Write all of those things down without a judgment. Just write them down. And these are basically things that bring you joy. And of course, it doesn't always have to be about using this in your job. And on the other hand, if you could ask the question, just Look at that list and see what's really joyful for you, what you really like doing, what is really so easy for you that you have discounted so far. And then ask the question, so which one of these could make me money? And simply follow the energy, like, does it feel like, is it light or is it heavy? And just play with it and see what comes to mind. And I can testify to it that the more I follow what is joyful for me, the more money comes. Because money follows joy, and joy doesn't follow money. So, another exercise I have done with Simone, or following Simone's example, is to look at what you really love doing. And then I will want to give you one example. For me, one of the things I love doing is translating. So what is the underlying energy of translation? I have already written it down for myself because I really, yeah, had to go into it and think about it as well. And I realized what I love about translating is that I have to think fast. So, and especially with simultaneous translation, I have to do several things at the same time. And I really enjoy this. And I realize how much, how much time really is a construct, and how many strings of consciousness, if you like, you can have going at the same time. And I'm sure every one of us has this in different areas. So what I also love about translating is that I actually need to get the whole picture energetically if I want to have ease with translating. If I expand my zone of awareness beyond everybody involved in that translation situation, it's so much easier to anticipate also what will be said, who will say what, with what intention. This will make it easier to get and also easier to take over, to translate to the other person, to those who are listening. It helps me to go beyond the words and have this sphere or whatever, this space, where the whole picture is there in 3D. And I can approach it from any which angle I like. And for instance, Gary and Dan, and also Simone, they have a great way of giving that energetic hologram, if you like, especially to us translators, where we can simply go in there, and even if we don't follow exactly the same words, we can still describe the same thing. And this is so much fun, as you can tell by my voice. It's really, really super exciting. It's like a whole realm, a different realm you can enter. So what do I love about translating? It's going beyond the words, going to the energy, and facilitating communication between people, facilitating that they can understand each other, facilitating clarity, facilitating, yeah, anyway, if I want to put it pathetically, like, whoa, 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 with a lot of pathos, I'm sorry. It's like peace and understanding. But yeah, really, what if, and I sometimes realized also there were instances where I would be translating in fields where I didn't know a lot, in a glass factory, for instance. Of course, I tried to prepare as diligently as possible. But still, I mean, they have their own jargon, their professional jargon. And then I realized the German and the Russian workers and engineers, they would understand each other because they knew what they were talking about. It was the same thing. They would sometimes only need to make signs with their hands, and they would know what they were talking about. So I was just there like how can you say that? Like a, not even channel, just like a space that allows communication. I wouldn't, even back then, I wouldn't butt in with any words because I thought, oh, now these words have to be translated. I would be just giving them the space where communication was easy. So that was already back then a very, gratifying and exciting experience. And another thing I love about translating is it gives me the opportunity to immerse myself in other people's worlds in a way that doesn't have an effect on me in the sense of like I'm at the effect of it. It's more like also like exploring and having this curiosity and like getting to know new things, and you get to get behind the scenes of many places like police, court, whatever. You are allowed to spaces and places where other people are not allowed to go, and you meet so many people and yeah, so many energies, so many life stories, and this is really, really something I appreciate. So now I want to ask you, what is it for you? What is if you take one of those things that you really love doing? So what is the energy behind that? And I would also invite you to maybe also write that down for you to see what it is. And then see, okay, so what if you could apply that to your everyday life and your everyday business? Those energies, like in my case, what is it? Thinking fast, facilitating communication, immersing myself in other people's worlds, expanding and getting the energy and not only the words, for instance. So what is it for you with the thing you love doing? What if you could apply that to your everyday life and your everyday business? So what if you really didn't have to reinvent the wheel, but could go with what you are about, what you love doing, what is really, really fun for you? And then I know, which to me, again, is always very surprising. to me, it's something not so special, and I always capable of finding fault with how I speak, what I do. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. So, what if you didn't have to reinvent the wheel and can just use what you are?